Welcome to FemTech at Work, the podcast where we explore the intersection of technology, health, and women's empowerment in the workplace, hosted by me, Maaike Steinebach. This show will dive into the innovative solutions transforming women's health and well-being in the workplace. Join us as we chat with FemTech founders, industry leaders, and change makers who are pioneering advancements in FemTech and women's health. We discuss everything: menstrual health, reproductive rights, menopause, but also the challenges women face in the workplace and how innovation can overcome them. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting your FemTech journey, FemTech at Work is here to inspire and inform you about the future of health and wellness for women everywhere. Tune in and be part of the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of my podcast, FemTech at Work, with today's very, very special guest, Jennifer Sosna-McGrath, who is the founder of the Oval Concierge. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Maaike, for having me here today. I'm actually glad to see that the topic of fertility is actually being discussed more and more. So I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to learn about your background and to hear kind of what inspired you to start the Oval Concierge.
Yeah, so a little bit about myself. I grew up in Hong Kong and I actually started my career in the hotel industry with companies like Marriott International, Hyatt Hotels, as well as the Four Seasons Hotel, just to name a few. But then I actually transitioned to the healthcare industry about a decade ago. I worked in management, particularly in the operations and customer care area, where I was kind of hired to manage the practices to improve their flow processes. In particular, the front of house, where normally healthcare is not really a customer service focused area. So my job there was to blend my management styles that I got from the hotels to create a better customer care for patients so that their experience would actually feel less clinical.
Aha, hence the name concierge, I guess.
Yes, correct. Yes. Try to blend the hotel and the healthcare sort of in together and try and integrate it together. But actually really what inspired me to create Oval Concierge was actually my personal 6-year journey through fertility struggles. Many couples during my time, many of us had recently gotten married. And obviously the next step for us was just to start thinking of a family. So for my husband and I, it was really natural for us to know that this would actually be the next steps. So at first, to be honest with you, I really didn't think much about it. I honestly thought it's not going to be that difficult to get pregnant. But then I started to see my close circle of friends and they were sort of announcing their pregnancy literally one after another. And then I started to kind of feel a little bit pressured that I wasn't actually getting pregnant. So this is really where I started to think, okay, I might need to get checked and see if everything is okay. So my husband and I, we went to do our check with the doctor and everything was actually fine. It actually wasn't until we moved from Phuket to Shanghai that I started my fertility journey there. So I had to do some more research on my own and I started doing a number of fertility tests and checks again, which then obviously took more time and then obviously more money. So yeah, during my time, there was very little resources in Asia about fertility. And most of the information that I was researching on was actually from the States. And so if you can imagine, you're in a country that you don't speak the language, you have actually limited resources, and you're actually not sure which direction to go to. And I also didn't really anybody else that was going through the fertility struggles. So I started to navigate my fertility journey myself through speaking with some doctors. You know, I have obviously a little bit of the healthcare background already, and I kind of knew which kind of questions to ask.
Yeah.
And as I was researching, obviously only from the States or Europe at that time that I could find, and then also trying to speak to other people that had gone through fertility, which at that point, actually, it was quite difficult to find other people to speak with. So after doing a few fertility treatments, my husband and I had to come to a final decision and say, okay, we're going to try one last try for fertility treatments. And if this doesn't work out, then we're going to stop. But thankfully, and I'm really blessed that my treatment was successful. And so today we have a beautiful 8-year-old daughter.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. But at that time, little did I actually know that part of the processes that I was actually doing would be actually part of what Alveol Concierge is today.
Yeah, amazing. Wow. So how long did it take you to kind of from the moment that you figured you were going to try to have children to actually have your baby?
It was a 6-year journey, wow, basically. And I took a lot of time to prepare for it as well, because it's actually quite an important part of the process that people actually are not aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 years, but at least I'd say 2 years of kind of preparation until it finally got to the successful journey.
I think like you, I have 3 children. I also very naturally assumed that after I got married and we would try for children, we would have children. And I was very fortunate that happened. I actually did not think twice about it. I never spoke to people that were going through fertility treatment. Even the people that did probably weren't talking about it. So it feels like the fertility problem has gotten bigger these days. And I'm not sure if that's true. But can you share how big of a problem this is and why maybe fertility is a problem?
Definitely fertility is a growing problem. I mean, during my time, it was really not spoken about. And right now, for example, there are huge gaps, I would say challenges actually, I had during my time. And what the challenges that I had in my time are actually the same kind of challenges that are happening right now. So for example, people don't actually know where to start. They're overwhelmed with the information that is out there. And also, they're not actually knowing if it's the right information.
Yeah.
There's also no sort of customer service support, I felt, and as well as no emotional support out there for them. So many people that are navigating these fertility challenges are often feeling lost and overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And so I felt that, so for example, the traditional sort of fertility services, I would say, are focusing more on the medical side. I felt that these kind of challenges can feel not focused on clients. And so, for example, you have some clinics that are really, really busy and there's no personalized service for them. That sort of then moves that area away. And then there are patients that you see, they're not really clear or they don't really understand their options. And so they kind of feel rushed into treatments without exploring other solutions first. I thought that these kind of challenges that we kind of had before would actually be improved and better. But unfortunately, it's still kind of the same right now. And also, I would say lack of emotional and mental health support for individuals and couples that are going through this journey is not there. But it's growing, but it just needs awareness as well, information. And again, we spend a lot of money and time researching and speaking to other people. So that's why I felt there was kind of a need for this kind of comprehensive approach to the fertility support again. And because of my own personal experience, I saw there was kind of a gap in Asia for this type of support, basically.
Yeah. So tell me, what does the Alveol Concierge, I think the name is kind of giving it away a little bit, but what does the Alveol Concierge offer?
Alveol Concierge is a service designed basically to support people through their fertility journey in the ways that you would feel personal, clear, and compassionate. My background, obviously, in the hospitality and the healthcare has actually allowed me to merge the principle of that hotel concierge service as well as the best practices of healthcare. So think of us as your fertility journey partner. What makes us different is that we don't just focus on the medical side. We actually provide the personal guidance and the emotional support. And we kind of help you every step of the way of your journey.
Yeah.
So we take the time to understand each client's situation and we create a plan that kind of fits their needs, you know, their fertility goal. We want to make sure that they feel informed and confident by offering resources. And so we're there to coordinate everything from connecting them with the clinic partners to helping them also manage their treatments. It's kind of making the whole process less overwhelming and more empowering, I would say.
Yeah.
And we're there to help our clients increase their chances of reaching their fertility goals.
Yeah.
That's really what Alveol Concierge is all about.
Amazing. And maybe just an ignorant question, but at what point in time should kind of couples start to get help?
I mean, I guess the expectation still of a lot of women might be that they would get pregnant very quickly. But is it 1 year? Is it 2 year? Or is it kind of just like what everybody feels comfortable with about being uncomfortable about not being able to get pregnant?
That's a good question, actually. So if you've been trying for 12 months, and after 12 months, if you still haven't gotten naturally pregnant, then it'll be time to have a discussion with your partner or your spouse and say, okay, let's go get our checks. If you are a little bit older, for example, for the ages of 35, as you know, for women, unfortunately, as well as men, our fertility declines as we get older. So if you're the age of 35, I would say after 6 months, if you've been trying already, then I would suggest also to maybe have that discussion with your partner or spouse and then go for your checks.
Yeah. So I also read somewhere that a lot of fertility treatment, the first session kind of fails because there is this automatic belief that the problem is with the female fertility, but that increasingly also male fertility is problematic. So is this also something you're seeing, or is this an urban myth?
No, absolutely. It was actually something I was going to bring up at the end. And we all think that it's always kind of the women's issue, but actually to over nearly 50%, you could be male related. And it takes two to tango. So we predominantly, we're the ones doing all the treatments. We're taking the injection, the medication, when doing the scans. The male side also has some part to play. So it's something that is not spoken about enough. And I feel that's something that we need to also build awareness on in terms of that area for the male side.
Yeah. Now, you grew up in Hong Kong. I've lived here for the last 15 years. We all know that across Asia, in general, quite a stigma around talking about health issues, and it is considered to be something that is very private. Are you seeing that change in Hong Kong? Are people becoming more comfortable to kind of talk about their fertility journey? Or is this something that is still kind of very much in the taboo area from a cultural perspective?
So from a culture perspective, yes, I mean, a little bit of cultural stigma for sure, but I'm definitely noticing a difference where I think it could have been during COVID, because obviously, you know, we're all sort of online, and I noticed that the conversation has started to open up. So during my time, it was really, really quiet. Like nobody was talking about it. But now I've noticed as well, we're talking about it a little bit more. And also in terms of the cultures, there's definitely cultural stigma there. In certain cultures, it's considered sort of a taboo to talk about fertility and sort of considered a failure. So women will be reluctant at times to speak out about it. Or if they do, it will be in very, very close circles, because the pressure of family building in certain cultures can be quite stressful for certain couples, or even just specifically for women when they need to bear a child for this family, for example. Or if it's such a huge family, there could be a lot of pressure, like, oh, you get people when you go to family events and they're all wondering, you've been married for 2-3 years, and they're all kind of questioning, are they trying? There's just a lot of stigma there that people still are not used to. But as I said, it's really kind of opening up now, and sort of platforms and services like we have is sort of trying to create that education and awareness as well now. So I'm kind of excited that it's slowly growing, especially in Asia.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I think it's very, very necessary. And particularly when you talk about also the mental health issues that people go through, just that continuously idea of failing if it doesn't work, or rejection, or I'm doing something wrong. And I guess not just for women, but also for men, where traditionally this is definitely not an area the men would be talking about. But what I try and do is really, when I talk about also fertility insurance and kind of products and services as employee benefits, to not talk about this just as for women, but also really to talk about this as family, because it does impact the men as much as the women. And to your earlier point, in a lot of cultures, this is a massive family issue, actually. So it's exciting to hear that there is more and more talk about all of this.
Definitely getting the men involved in the conversation is really important. You have that conversation as well, because men, they want to help, actually. They don't actually sometimes know what to do. And this is where it's really important to have that open conversation and speak about where you are and where he is too. If you don't have that kind of conversation together, you might actually not be on the right page during your journey. And it's really important to get them involved. And also, they want to help when you're doing specific treatments as well. They want to understand, okay, what is my wife or my partner going to feel like
yeah.
after this specific treatment? They don't know. They're not sure because the women are the one that's usually going to the appointments and doing all the preparation. And, you know, the men don't have that much preparation sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So maybe just coming back to the oval conchair. You talk that you help basically couples and women kind of through their fertility journey. But can you discuss just a little bit more in detail, what services are you offering your clients? So somebody finds you, then what would a typical customer journey look like?
The customer journey would basically start off with a discovery consultation. And from there, we would get the basics to understand where they are at their fertility journey. And after that, we would then have a more in-depth consultation where we would get more idea of their fertility goals, what their fertility history is, and in how we can actually help them. So we will then create a personalized plan. And after we have the personalized plan, we will then actually have another consultation with them. And then we will basically be discussing with them what we found and basically recommendations of what we would plan to do next. So this could be, for example, they would need to do, I don't know, lifestyle changes, for example. They need to maybe add nutrition
yeah.
into, you know, their fertility journey, or they may need to have alternative medicine, for example, like acupuncture. Or, for example, they need to go straight into the fertility treatments. And so we then recommend them and refer them to our partner clinics that we have. Or if they want to choose their own clinics, we will also work with them with the clinics that they have chosen themselves. So that's overall a sort of the customer journey in the beginning and also to the end of how we get everything started. But along the way, we also continue to support them. So when clients come on board with us, we have, for example, a digital fertility planner. And this really is to write down their medication schedules, you know, the timing of their ovulation, or if they're feeling a bit down, they can just use it as a journal. So the old school style of just writing down things and something to track as well with them. So this is also part of the journey that we give to them as well. And then also we continue to have that coordinating and travel services. So if you decide to opt for your treatment internationally, we continue to coordinate with you and the clinics overseas as if you have that as part of your recommendation. And we also work with them to sort out the accommodation and the transfers as well.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. So you mentioned earlier a little bit about a digital journey or ovulation tracker. Obviously, this podcast is about women's health and femtech. And these days, there's a lot more innovation and technology available to help women. How has technology played a role in enhancing the services that you offer?
Technology definitely has helped the fertility journey smoother and more accessible for the client. For example, we offer a tool called a Mirror Fertility Tracker. And this allows the clients to track their hormone levels at home with an app, which then gives them more of a clearer picture of their ovulation patterns.
Yeah.
So this is one of the tools, and it really helps you through your journey to figure out, you know, when is the best timing to start trying. And because there's only a certain amount of time and window that you have. So we found that really great tool to have for our clients. As I mentioned, we do have the digital fertility planner, which allows, again, the clients to organize the medication schedules, et cetera. And it's basically there to keep them on top of the process so that they would feel it's manageable and personal still with them. And then, as I said, we actually have partner clinics, and we're actually kind of selective of the clinics we partner with. And so one of the particular clinics we actually collaborate with is located in the UK, and also they've just opened a clinic in Portugal. And what they use is AI-powered embryo selection tools, and this increases the chances of IVF success. So what it does is that the technology analyzes embryos in detail and helps them select the healthiest embryos to transfer, allowing greater chances for success and more accuracy.
Amazing. Fingers crossed that AI is also really going to help make that journey smoother, because obviously as AI also improves, the impact of having one treatment versus having four treatments, right, will be a massive game changer for a lot of couples. So very exciting to see that.
Yeah, really.
And also exciting to see you use the Mira, because obviously this is an incredible tool. For me, this is one of the reasons why I got so excited about FemTech, because it really helps democratize the health and well-being of women, because this is something you could use at home on your own time, in the comfort of your own home. It gives you privacy. It's easy to use. Was there a particular reason why you picked the Mira, or did you look at other products that were available in the market as well?
To be honest with you, I did look at other products and I didn't actually find them as accurate. I think having the digital app and really seeing what your hormone levels is and tracking it, I thought was quite accurate. And I spoke to a number of women as well. And so obviously the cost is something you need to factor when you are deciding to buy the tracker. But I really do think the investment long-term is worth it. And you do have obviously the traditional ones, you know, you can buy in the shop, but I felt this was more accurate and long-term to use. And also I felt by hearing certain success rates as well,
yeah,
it was something to invest in. And again, at Ovule Concierge, we're basically trying to find ways to increase your chances for success for your fertility goals. So that was one of the reasons why we also chose the Mira Fertility Tracker.
Amazing. Yeah, very excited to hear that. So obviously we all think that starting your own company is easy, right?
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure it hasn't been a linear route. So just as a founder, do you want to share a little bit of some of the challenges that you faced in setting up the company and how have you overcome them?
Oh, gosh. I think setting up the company obviously has its challenges being a new company and being a B2C company at the moment. I think breaking the stigma and raising awareness, educating people about fertility and normalizing the conversation actually has been a bit challenging. Although I mentioned that there is some progress.
Yeah.
Many individuals are still reluctant to speak about it in detail, but I feel we're trying to raise awareness. I'm trying to do as much as I can to speak about it and sort of like help women in the community, even with little advice as much as I can, and also just build that, again, as I said, awareness. And gradually we're slowly kind of shifting and I feel it's making a little bit of an impact. So for me, one step at a time, and if it can create that impact slowly, I'm slowly going to be reaching my goals as well. So that was just one part. I think also as a new company, I think building that sort of trust as well has also been challenging from time to time. But something I heard from Reid Hoffman, the co-founder from LinkedIn, that actually resonated with me. He basically kind of mentioned amplifying your network can lead to valuable connections, collaborations, and insights that could actually propel the business forward. So establishing credibility in the fertility space is not straightforward. And people want to feel secure when discussing such personal issues. So to address this, we focus on being transparent about our services, and we are there to try to provide a good customer care. So that's another reason why I feel that the holistic approach that we use is important to us. And so that's why we collaborate with providers that not only have the expertise in the fertility, but also embrace actually that whole comprehensive perspective as well.
Yeah, I like what you said about trust. I think particularly in the healthcare space, it is very difficult to kind of gain the trust of your customers, but also of the medical community, right? Particularly if you're not in the medical space or don't have a medical degree yourself. How have the clinics and the doctors responded to your services?
So they've actually responded really, really well. So I basically partner and collaborate with providers that have a holistic approach. So it's really important for me to make sure that the doctors or even the providers that I work with have sort of some fertility expertise. If they haven't really worked with the clients or the patients that have been going through the journey, then I wouldn't be referring them to them because it takes a lot of time again and money for the clients themselves. And so they're looking for places that they can trust and that have the knowledge already there, basically to, you know, save them time as well as money and also try to get them to their actual fertility goal. In terms of the healthcare space with all the providers, it has been really good. A lot of people have been talking about it, that it's a great thing that we are here to try and sort of fill in that gap. Because as I said before, the healthcare space is always kind of focusing on the medical side.
Yeah.
It's not really focusing on the patient side. And so we are there to make it a little bit, to normalize it and also create that sort of support. So I'm excited with them having positive reviews about it. And I'm also excited because I think collaborating is just one of the key success that we need for both the client and also the healthcare area. So the ultimate goal for us is for the client to get to their final stage and their fertility goal. That's really what we're here to do with them as well.
Well, congratulations. I have to say, I love your website. I love how it looks from a branding perspective, but I also really, really like the fact that you're very much focused on the customer experience of the patient or of the client, and that you're kind of adding on the extras around the travel and the mental health aspect of it, but also kind of the technology aspect. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Exciting to see where you're going to go in the future. What is your long-term vision for the company?
Honestly speaking, right now I'm taking it step by step, but I would love to build a huge platform and also connect with other communities that we can sort of create that impact, because I think in this fertility space, it's just not me that's going to be doing. I would love to amplify Ovio Concierge and get as much information and partnership with as much as I can. So long term, I'm hoping that this will be a very important place to come for us to help you and also create sort of a platform where we can give you that education and give you that knowledge and head start so that you can actually reach to your fertility, to reach your goals, basically.
Yeah, amazing. So what advice would you have for any other women that are looking to start their own healthcare company?
Oh gosh, okay. So basically, I would say do your research first. Of course, we spent a lot of time speaking to healthcare providers as well, and also speaking to other people that were in the space too. I think it has been, as I said, a fulfilling yet challenging journey. But I think if you also have a great support, so I think obviously having a really good mentor or having someone that can help you amplify your journey, that's another way to keep you going. I think stay true to your mission, you like focus on your impact that you want to create, because eventually the rest will actually follow. And I think embrace your challenges that you get, because as you own a company, there's always going to be challenges, but the obstacles that you have is always an opportunity to grow and to also refine your vision. And I think also start with your passion as well. So if there's something that you love and you deeply care about, that should also kind of keep you motivated.
Yeah, I love it. Follow your passion. Make sure that you build a community of supporters around it. Get a mentor, which I think is super important, because particularly for a lot of solo founders, it can get very, very lonely. And it's good that you have aspiring partners to kind of connect with, and do your research, right? Make sure that you really understand what the problem is that you're trying to solve instead of the other way around.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for being on my podcast today. Is there anything I've missed or anything you want the listeners to know?
No, I think I did want to touch on the male fertility part, but I think we spoke about it today, so I don't think there's anything else I've missed. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on here today. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you so much for firstly starting your company, for helping couples on this journey, and for being an awesome guest on my podcast today. So if you want to follow the Ovio Concierge or Jennifer, the details of our company will be in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please share and like and give me a review so that more and more people can get access to this very important information. Thank you very much.